Nowadays, we always have the Shaila regarding someone who's going to Israel for a Yantif. Does he hold of 2 days of Yantif, because that's what he would do in America? Does he hold of 1 day of Yantif, because he's in Israel, day and a half? This is a question that comes up. The Gemara Megillah brings up its own version of this question, and that's in the Mishnah on Daf Yutest, regarding a Ben Yir Shehalacha Krach, Ben Krach Shehalacha Ir. You have a person from a town who went to a walled city, or a person from a walled city who went to a town. We know that depends, right, difference of 14th and 15th in terms of when you read Megillah. And the Mishnah says, Yimasid Lachzor Limkomo, Korim Komo. If he will return to his regular place, the place where he lives, before nightfall, so then he'll read it in that place, Bimlav. But if he will not return there, so Korim Ahim, he reads with them, he reads in that place that he is visiting. And in the Gemara, Rava points out that the cutoff point for this seems to be dawn, seems to be daybreak. That if the person will return to city on that night, let's say the night of the 14th, so then he will read with his city. But if he will, you know, basically stay overnight, he'll wake up the next morning, still staying in his place where he's visiting, so then he'll read with them. So someone who's from a walled city, if he sleeps somewhere else, then he'll read on the 14th. And then Rava adds a different halacha. This is all talking about people from walled cities or unwalled cities, but what about the people from the kvarim, the villages, where they could have read much earlier, right? We said as earlier as the 11th of Adar. We did this in order to accommodate them so that they can come in and sell their produce at the same time. So over there, Rava says, Bein kfar shalach le'ir. Bein kach uvein kach. Korei imahin. That when it comes to a villager who came in on the Yom Knisa, on the Monday or Thursday, so whether he will remain in that town or he will leave before the dawn, before morning, he reads with them. He's obligated to read it on the 14th. So my time, the Gemara asks, what's the reason? Haikanvei ir ba'i lemikre. Really, the whole dispensation of reading earlier on the 11th, the 12th, etc., was the rabbanan being makel so that they could provide food for everyone else in the towns. But if they're already in this, they're already in the city on the 14th. They happen to be there anyway, so then they would read with those people in the city of the 14th, and that's even if they already read, a few days earlier on that Monday or Thursday. Tosfos goes into this a little bit more detail. And so says Tosfos, quoting Rashi, Pirush Rashi, v'afal pisha kar kvar liyom haknisa. Even though they already read earlier, they've already fulfilled their obligation of Kriyas Megillah a few days beforehand. Why should he go back and read a second time? It's like Baal Tosif, maybe. We call Makom Nira the Shapir Perish Rashi. Tosif says Rashi is saying good. The Kevan Chaya Be'ir Belaila Nasa Kivnei Ha'ir. That once you are staying overnight in the city on the 14th, you are like a Bnei Ha'ir. Again, really, these Bnei Kfarim, they should be reading on the 14th anyway. It was just a Kula to sort of make it more convenient for them. And this is even though that they're going to return on the 14th, and even though they've already read the Hamrinan Kfar Maktim Liom Haknisa Kadeshi Siku Mayim Mazon Achem Shebekrachim Pturim Megillah Hanudavka Kishi Inam Shoim Sham Belel Yadalit. And as we said, the whole reason we allow them to come in early in order to provide food for everyone. And this is always this is talking about a case that they're not staying overnight for the 14th. El Bayom Yadawad Ba'im Sham. They're just coming on the daytime. But once they're already staying overnight, they're establishing themselves as a Bnei Ir. They're part of that town. Their village where they come from is just like sort of a satellite of the city. And so if they're staying overnight in the city, so then they're part of Bnei Ir, and they would read again, even if they already read prior to this. The Gemara, towards the bottom of Daf Yutes, wants to know, is the Megillah more like a Sefer, or is it more like a Negeres? And what that means is, if it's more like a Sefer, then it has to meet the same requirements of a Sefer Torah in terms of how it's written, in terms of how it's stitched as well. But if it's an Igeres, then it does not have to be meet all the dinim of a Sefer Torah. And so the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Chelbo, Nikrei Sefer, She'im Tefara Bechute Pishtan Psula, it's both. It's called a Sefer in the sense that it has Pishtan, it has linen threads, it's puzzle, just like a Sefer Torah would be puzzle for that reason. V'nikreis Igeres, She'im Hitil Bashlosha Chute Gidin Kshira. But it's called a Igeres, to say that if we have three strands, three strings, Gidin, to bind it together, it's valid, which is not like a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah has to be stitched much more than just with three stitches. A Sefer Torah is generally stitched all the way top to bottom. So Tosos over here says, V'vad shayu mishuloshin, nir kemoshev hirish rashi, shayihe mirosh ha-tfar ad hagid, kemagid legid chaveiro bin lamala lamata. That the idea is that it has to be equidistant, it has to be in three equal parts, from top to middle to bottom, in terms of how it's stitched. That's the statement of Rav Nachman from the Gemara. I'm sorry, I forgot to read that. V'hachinami mashman makos. There's also mashman makos in a very different context regarding the word of Mishuloshin. Gabe Ari Mikla. Regarding Ari Mikla, the Kamar of Mishuloshes Shehi Mishuloshin Midarum L'chevron K'mechevron L'shchem Mishchem L'kadesh M'kadesh L'tzafon. That in terms of talking about the different Ari Mikla and the distances between them, they have to be equidistant in the different directions. Shma mina the Mishuloshin, mashma hachi. And this teaches us that Mishuloshin means this. It means equidistant in three sections. V'lo kemoshev mfarshim shishim she'yasim agid b'rosh hadaf v'matsiyaso v'sofa. And it's not like how some others explain it, that it just means that you put the strand, you put the hole in the rosh, the emtza, and the sof. It has nothing to do with how you put the string in, but rather it's how you bind it in three sections.